If you'd hang on to your prayer list, and we'll just quote or read whatever the situation might be, the verses starting with Psalms 1, 3, and when we come down to Psalm 6, 1, jump back up to Psalms 8, 3, and 4. We'll go ahead and read those verses, although they're ones that are for the future. But let's start with Psalms 1, 3, and just go through them together. Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalms 2:12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Psalms 3:6. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Psalms 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Psalms 6:1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Jump up to Psalms 8, verses 3 and 4. Psalms 8, 3 and 4. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Now, Pastor said it will take 2 weeks on those verses, so you'll have a verse each week. But I did not know until this evening what verses he had planned for the future. But as I read through this, there's that first question. What is man that thou art mindful of him? You ever thought about that? When you think of who God is, and in comparison to that, think who we are. And what is man that God even think about us? But he does. He loves us, he cares for us, and he meets needs in our lives. So I hope you're doing better than I am. I'm trying. In fact, my wife says I'm very trying. How many of you spent some time in the military? Here we got a few. I spent some time in the military as well. I don't know what area of the military you spent in, but we're going to look tonight at being a soldier. Not really looking at being a soldier, but something other. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I imagine that every one of you are very aware of the fact that we are in a battle. And the battle is becoming more and more intense. The enemy is strong. And therefore, as Paul challenges us in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. In your training as military individuals, there are probably times you'd like to go home real quick. Training is not easy. There are some difficult times. I remember being out on a training mission, and we were crawling under barbed wire fences, and I was down in Fort Hood, Texas. And that is the stickiest mud I've ever seen in my life. And it had been raining for 2 or 3 days, and we were crawling through that sticky old mud. And now, I don't know if it was true or not. I wasn't going to try to find out, but they said it was live ammo shooting across us. Now, I heard guns going off, and I wasn't going to stick my head up to find out if it was live or not, because I figured if it was live, I wouldn't be. But, you know, there are times like that that weren't the easiest in the training. And they were training us, teaching us, encouraging us, or challenging us to be strong. in case we actually did get into a battle. And after basic training, I was sent off to Intermediate Speed Radio Operator International Morse Code, learned that, and then I got sent to Germany, and I had a terrible hard job. I drove Jeep for the CO. And while all the other guys were out there on the river building those bridges, I was sitting in the Jeep listening for messages. And once in a while, I had to get out on the bridge and deliver a message. But military, you know, I'm glad I went through it. I'm glad I didn't have to go into a real battle, but I'm glad I went through it. But you and I, as believers, are in a battle. And he encourages us to be strong in that battle. And in Ephesians chapter 6, and beginning with verse 10 and going on down through verse 18, we have here the challenge to put on the whole armor of God. In other words, get suited up for the battle. And I'm going to read those verses, but there's just one little phrase that I'm going to look at tonight. Beginning with verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in all in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. But up in verse number 10, Paul challenges us. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong. But I'm thankful he didn't end that verse at that point. In the battle, we are not strong in ourselves. We do not have the strength to stand up against the wiles of the devil. And so he went on and he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That little phrase, be strong in the Lord. Each piece of the armor, of course, is important. If you leave off one piece, it could be a risk of your life. And as you think about putting on the whole armor of God, take a little time and study that out. As you put on the armor of God, you're putting on Christ. As you think of the different parts of the armor, it's a matter of putting on Christ. And so we won't go through that tonight, but just think about that. And we need to put on Christ. We need to be strong in the Lord. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, some encouraging words that were given to Joshua. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord thy God is with thee. And we have a constant companion in the foxhole. And that's the Lord. And tonight, I want us to look at some necessities in order to be strong soldiers. Looking at the source of our spiritual strength, as Paul says there in verse 10, in the Lord. Our strength comes not from ourselves, but our strength comes from the Trinity. Sometimes if you want to have an interesting study, study the times where the Bible pretty clearly points out the cooperation of the Trinity in different matters. In creation, the Trinity is involved. In salvation, the Trinity is involved. The Trinity is also involved in our day-by-day battle that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to look at those this evening for just a few moments. First of all, God the Father. Now there are two direct statements that are made back in the book of Exodus concerning the matter of God the Father being our strength. In Exodus chapter 15 and the second verse, "The Lord is my strength." He goes on and says, "And my song, he is my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him." But he says, "The Lord is my strength." And of course, Lord there is in the capital letters, meaning that it's referring to Jehovah God. The Lord is my strength. This particular verse, Israel had just come out of Egypt. They had just come across the Red Sea, and I'm sure you remember the incident, how when they come out of Egypt and they came to the Red Sea, and they had the Red Sea before them, and behind them was the army from Egypt, a mighty army. And as so many people say, they were between a rock and a hard place. The sea before them, the army behind them. And God performed a great miracle. It's always been interesting to me. There are individuals who say, well, you know, the Jordan River isn't that deep. They'd have no problem walking across it. And that's interesting. But that little river that isn't very deep drowned the entire Egyptian army. So what was the hardest? You know, God did perform a great miracle. And then this is Moses, of course, speaking at this particular time, rejoicing in what God had done. And in the 14th chapter of Exodus, verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." Again, Jehovah God spoken of there. And as they still had some difficulties to face, still had some battles to win, and he said, just stand still and just wait upon the Lord, and he'll be your strength, and he'll guide you. In Exodus 14, in verse 31, "And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." But that little phrase in that verse, "that great work which the Lord did." It isn't interesting, as we are in the battle, and we have no strength for the battle, we can stand still and wait upon the Lord, and see the great work that He does. Not what we do, but the great work that the Lord does. They, of course, were singing a song of victory at this particular time. And again, as you go back to Exodus chapter 15, and you begin with the first verse, there's several little things I'd like to point out as they sang this song of victory. Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 1. "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously." They didn't say, we have triumphed gloriously. He has. It was he that gave them the strength. It was God that gave them the victory at that particular time. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. But again, it says, it's Pharaoh's chariot and horse that he, God, hath cast in the sea. And again, they didn't say we, but he. And you know, it's the same way in our battle today. It is by us just quietly waiting upon the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean you sit by and do nothing. Okay, God expects you to put forth an effort to follow his will and to do what he would have you to do. We do it with that anticipation that he is going to be able to give us the victory, and not we are ourselves. And you know, the battle is not ours. It's God's. And we just simply have the great privilege to be one of his soldiers, one of his military individuals. I count it as a great privilege to serve my country and be in the service. And again, as I said, I'm thankful I didn't actually have to go into war. The closest we came is when Khrushchev walked out on Eisenhower, and they pulled all our passes, and we went to our designated battle areas and sat there for 3 days, and nothing happened, and we went back home. But I'm thankful that I didn't have to go into war. But, you know, as we place our hope and we follow our captain, he can give us the battle. And that is so true in our lives spiritually. And so we have the source of strength from God the Father. We also have the source of strength from God the Son. The Apostle Paul was an individual who recognized his own weakness. And I'm sure each one of us, if we'd be honest with ourselves tonight, we too would recognize our weakness. Paul saw his weakness as a means of Christ being able to give him strength. That he didn't have to depend upon his own strength. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 12, beginning with verse number 8, going down through verse number 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. This is Christ speaking. He's talking to Paul, encouraging Paul. And he's saying, Paul, yes, you might be weak, but my strength is made for I am weak. Well, let me get started here. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. He goes on, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I will take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, there are two words you could add to the end of that verse. They aren't in the Bible, and I'm not trying to add to Scripture, okay? But there you say, for when I am weak, then am I strong in the Lord. And not in myself. Christ in John chapter 15, in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. How true that is. But Paul, then in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 13, says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Without him I can do nothing. But I can do anything the Lord wants me to do, anything that is according to his will, in his strength. And I depend upon his strength, and I lean upon him. Paul wrote there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Christ never expects us to do anything that He Himself will not help us to do. There was a period of time when up in Fort that I not only served as the pastor there, but we didn't have any teen leaders at that time, and so I worked with the teens. I always enjoy being with the teens. When I candidated at Fort, they had a question and answer period, and there was a gentleman asked the question. He says, if you would get called and you accepted the call to our church, would you be willing to associate work with the teens? I said, I love being with teens. I love roof housing with the teens. And then I met the teens. Had Brad Arnett, who played nose guard for the University of Whitewater football team. I had Rob and Rich Stein. Their senior year in high school, they wrestled heavyweight, and they had a 40-1 record. The one loss came when Rob and Rich had to wrestle each other to see who went to state. Rob actually won the state championship. And then we had Bob Stockton, who really wasn't in sports, but he stood 6'4" and weighed 250 pounds. And I changed it to, I love roughhousing with the teens, to I enjoy being with the teens. But my wife used to get after me. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I broke my ribs 4 times playing with the teens. One time I broke ribs on both sides. It just shows how stupid I am. But anyway, I better get back to the lesson here. But our strength is in the Lord. God Himself, the power of Christ. He is the one who can change our weakness into strength to fight the battle. Without Christ, we can do nothing. But in Christ, we can do anything that He, in His will, asks us to do. Christ will give the enabling to do that which is His will. But it is by us abiding in Christ. Again, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to abase, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. All of those things can take place in the life of a military person. And Paul said what he said in those two verses. He says, I've learned to have those mountaintop experiences. I've learned to walk down through the valleys. I've learned to walk in between them. But then comes verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul said, I learned to be content in these different things. But he adds that 13th verse. I've learned to do it because of the strength I receive from Christ, the guidance that I receive from Him. And so verse 13 is a declaration of the strength that enabled him to face both the mountaintop and the valley. And so our strength as soldiers of the cross come from God the Father, comes from God the Son, also comes from God the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, that He would grant you, and this of course is Paul praying for the believers there at Ephesus, and he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Where is the hardest battle? Where is it taking place? It's within. And he says, by my spirit, I will strengthen you in the inner man. The Spirit enables us to grow in grace to do the will of the Lord. You know, we often pray, and we mentioned even earlier this evening that different prayer requests, individuals who are going through some physical difficulties in their life, and we ask that you would pray for them, and that's what the prayer sheet is for, and we ought to do that. But you know, we also need to be praying on the spiritual side. Praying for spiritual strength. Praying for spiritual healing. That the individuals, each one of us, might be able to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was by the strength of the Spirit that Christ Himself did His earthly ministry. In Luke, in chapter 4, verse number 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." But He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." So even Christ got renewed strength through the Spirit. That inner strength. It's not by our strength, but the Spirit's strength. As it says back in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." As soldiers, we are challenged to stand firm. Stand in the face of the battle. We're not to run, we're not to hide, we're to stand firm. We are to fight the good fight of faith. As Paul says, he had fought the good fight of faith. And I trust we'll be able to come to the end of our life and say the same thing. We have fought the good fight. But to do so, we need help. We need strength beyond ourselves. We need strength outside of ourselves. And the Trinity is our source of strength. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're actually one. There is no separation. And yet, each one of them have a ministry in a unique way to each and every one of us. Adding strength. Yes, we are in a battle. We cannot win that battle in our own strength. But we can in the strength of the Lord. And in His strength alone. Through the combined ministry of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, truly Lord, tonight we recognize that we are so dependent upon Thee. We have no strength. Any strength that we have to face the battle is a strength that comes through You. Strength that we receive through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we face the battles, help us, Lord, to wait upon Thee. See the salvation of the Lord. See the working of the Lord. Each one of us on tonight could look back and we could remember the great work that God has done in and our lives, using others to be an encouragement as well. And I pray, dear Father, as we go forth from this place, that You, Lord, would continue to give us the strength that we need. We'll give You the praise for what You accomplished, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Good night. Sorry to let you out so early, but...